What's up, After Buzzers? Welcome to Quantico episode 4. It's Spy Games. And it was a twist and turn in this episode, so you won't want to miss a beat.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Cue the drama. Cue the dramatics. Cue everything that's sad and depressing.
This episode.
I was just about to say, kind of like
you guys,
this
we had a mixed bag with this episode. I think we're all pretty much on the same page. I mean, it was filled with dramatics, but not the dramatics I think we're all used to when it comes to true Quantico fashion. Yeah. But what's up, everyone? Thanks so much for joining us. I know we switched our times. We were originally on Thursdays. We're now on Mondays. But thank you so much for joining us for Quantico episode 4. My name is Candace Cruz, and we got all our lips and leather ladies here.
Hey. Hey guys. I left my leather jacket, so don't kick me out of the band. Like, you know, I still want to
we'll
be
let you slide okay. this
but
week.
But look, I have an above lip. Welcome back. I'm Elena.
Hey guys, Ashley Allen here.
Hey, it's your girl Christine.
And this episode was called Spy Games. So we've got a prince that's got a target on his head, a betrayal of someone in his inner circle, and then we've got all the romances happening in the Quantico team. Like, it's not just one. It's like all intertwined.
It's too much.
Too much drama in like one little like group. Yeah. Okay, can we just do the whole like get the cat out of the bag with this episode? Who actually liked this episode a lot? Well, the silence has the winner right there.
I mean, the NBA playoffs were on. I was more interested in that. I only continued and watched this entire episode because I had to be honest. Like, it just did not hold my attention. I was not connected to it. It wasn't absolutely terrible, but I was hoping for more. And it was just another instance of me figuring it out within the first 5 to 10 minutes.
Here's what's depressing. As Quantico fans and as ladies who love the show, we've gone through seasons and we know the quality. We know what we were getting. Yes. And for this to be the first half of season 3, it's just like, okay, guys, you switched it up on us. And we love that you switched it up and you're bringing something different. Mm-hmm. It's just not connecting because what made... I believe us fall in love with Quantico is not what we're receiving.
Yes.
And that's what's getting depressing. Had we not had anything to base the show off of prior to this season, then fine, maybe it would be like a little okay. But because we're used to being on the edge of our seats and our heart beating super fast and like not knowing what's about to happen, now we're basically like super genies. We can predict the episode.
And going off of that too, it's like with the quality that TV is nowadays, like we are in the golden age of television and things are like, they have to be top notch in order to continue on TV.
Absolutely.
When you have so much like a plethora of amazing quality content, you have to up your ante. And that's why I loved Quantico so much from the get-go.
Yeah.
Was because it had quality content. It was different from everything else that you ever watched that had to do with law enforcement, CIA, like
colorful cast.
Yes. And it was like one of the first casts that was really like diverse and it was like really quality, well done, diversity that was intertwined and everybody brought something unique to the table.
Yeah.
And right now it's just not, it's just sugar-coated.
It's very disappointing. The quality level just isn't there. With the type of stories that you have, the characters, you know, they've already gotten rid of a lot of the excess characters that we had for the first 2 seasons. So with the people that are left, you do have this opportunity to really build something strong with the ones that we did have a deep connection to. And that's not even there.
Right.
Like, the Alex drama to me is just kind of irrelevant. And Ryan, like, these characters aren't continuing to develop in a way that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disappointing because, granted, this was already shot before they knew that the season was going to be canceled. But if that's what you wanted to give us to begin with, I'm not sold.
I agree. Yep. Yeah, I'm left wanting more.
Yeah,
it just
feels rushed. And you know, like when we heard about the new changes for this season, I was excited. I'm like, okay, I do think the season should be shorter and, you know, speed up the storyline, but it's too much now. Like, there's no balance between what it was and what it could have been.
I was literally watching this past episode, and I was like, it's going too fast.
Yeah.
Like, they are working through there's no suspense. Yeah. Like, they're working through everything so fast, and I was missing it a little bit. And I was like, okay, wait. I also want to be in on the team, and I want to play detective, and I want to feel like I'm solving the riddles, too. But if you solve it before me, then I can't use my detective skills, and then what I'm practicing for?
No, it's just one of those things where, like, I was left wanting. I kind of was just like, what's the point? That's what I was really asking the entire episode. Like, I feel for Khalid. Like, he's got a target on his head, but...
I loved him, by the way.
Just another diplomat who has some issues, people trying to kill you. Like, there was original or new about this episode.
But he was so sweet. The fact that he loved culinary and he can really cook. Sweet. And his sister was like, go to your happy place. And he went to somewhere to cook.
Mom, no?
No, his sister.
Okay. Sorry. This whole time I thought that was his mom. I was like, damn, your mom is coming for you? Like, that's harsh.
Yeah. Crazy.
Okay, big sis.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Which is why. First, okay. I knew she was no good. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, because she did this look when Alex and McQuigg went into the room, and she was just like...
And played dumb.
Mm-hmm. And then I was like, it's too easy for them to already know. Because remember last episode when it was a detective guy? It was right in front of them, but they tried to act like they didn't know, which is how we knew it was him.
Right.
But for this one, they knew that it was Frozen, is how you say his name. Like, they said it too quickly, and I was like, okay, it's not going to be him, because they wouldn't have given us the answer that easily.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then it gave you the answer inadvertently.
Yeah. Exactly. We stopped really seeing him after they established that it was him. We saw him make the one phone call, and then that was it. So I was like, it's not him. Right. We would have seen more of what he's doing. And then on that note, it's like the other half of the team... they barely had anything to do with figuring this whole thing out. I was struggling to see why we even needed this larger team anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, there were just so many things that just didn't add up to me.
Yeah, and I agree.
And I just think, like, there was... Again, it's not... What was the point is what keeps running through my head. It's like, okay, cool. It's this random kid that's consulate. Like, the CIA barely has an interest in it. They just want the oil. Like, again, why does this need a full team? Mm-hmm. Why does this need that much attention? It just...
Because if it was part of a bigger plan, we could understand.
And the last two episodes,
so isolated.
Like, at least last week I was like, okay, like internal terrorism, like got it. All these make sense. But
I think maybe that's what it is. Because when season three started, we were so excited about the diversity and the fact that they were going to be dealing with real life topics. Mm-hmm. And I think, on top of everything else that we've been kind of discussing this season, the fact that it was a storyline about a king and his son possibly being assassinated, that wasn't what we deal with day to day.
Right.
So it kind of, it took away that element that they did give us that made us really excited. You know what I mean?
Okay.
The only line I think that was dropped this episode that tried to be more relatable, I guess, was that conversation with Deep, is that his name? I forgot.
Yeah,
yes. Deep.
And Shelby kind of talking about where they come from. One person comes from privilege, the other person doesn't. And seeing how their worlds could be very similar even though they don't realize it, that was probably one of the most interesting conversations.
Love
and then
that.
After that, but it just didn't even connect to anything else.
Yeah, it was like this much of the episode.
Yeah.
And then they added one other one-liner about like having the opportunity like thrust upon you, the whole like Spider-Man scenario of like great responsibility. Great power.
Yeah. Oh, with the sun. Yeah.
Did any of you feel like, or any of you watching at home, do y'all think that Deep and Khalid like look like each other? Like, I was having a hard time differentiating the characters. I was like, wait, when did he become a prince?
I don't think they look at him.
I don't think they do.
No.
Okay, maybe I didn't see much of Deep this episode because every time I saw
Khalid, him in like one scene.
When he was behind a computer.
Yeah. Yeah, but one looks a lot younger and a little bit scrawnier and has that strike like part.
Eyes.
Yeah.
I think Deep is a little bit darker too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
We're coming for
at
you.
Least act like we're on the same team here.
Well, I know somebody who is on our team, and somebody who will not put you to sleep. Do you guys know who that is?
I think I have an idea.
I mean, it's Maria Menounos.
Hello.
And we've checked out her podcast, and I know you guys need to check out her podcast. If you want to learn, if you want to grow in all different aspects of your life, make sure you check out Conversations with Maria Menounos, which is hosted by AfterBuzz's very own founder, Maria Menounos, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secret tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to all career and relationship, finances, and more. So make sure you check out Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition on iTunes every Friday. So make sure you guys check it out. And it's free. That's the most important part. It's free. So you have no excuse not to listen, okay? Mm-hmm. Make sure you rate, comment, subscribe to her podcast, and tell her that us Quantico ladies sent you there.
Yes. While I'm over here jamming.
And it's on Fridays, too, now. That's when Quantico is. Yeah. Yeah. Check them both out the same day.
Literally, you can go have a conversation about how upset you may have been.
Yes.
And just let Maria be the big sister you never had.
Yes. Exactly. And she will not put you guys to sleep. Trust me. She has a lot of good tips about everything.
I've been having a lot of fun.
Someone from the show on it.
I've been having a lot of fun with conversations with Maria Menounos.
Yeah. There's been after buzzers on it. Yeah. A lot of stuff on it. Yes.
It's been cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, outside of all of that, I really hope that they take a leaf from Maria and up this show, because I'm just like, we've already talked about a big chunk of the entire episode within this first few minutes. But the one thing that I did like a little bit more about this episode was Dimitri and Harry's relationship.
Okay. Yeah.
The reason why I like it is that I think that was honestly the most depth we saw throughout the entire episode was these two characters. Mm-hmm. And it didn't even have to really do with like the action aspect. Like, you got to see humanity from a different perspective, kind of like you were talking about with Deep and Shelby, and being able to see another side of another world that you never have experienced. Of like, Harry had this complete like idea of who Dimitri was, hated him, and rightly so,
based off their experience
exactly together. And your perspective on what the scenario was. But when they actually like went down to it and realized that they had a common ground and they had a common goal, and Dimitri sharing a part of himself over vodka, obviously, very Russian. I really liked that. I thought that was like the first time that we saw Harry kind of like break down a little bit more.
Let me tell you what I loved. I loved when they got together to actually have the conversation when
Dimitri
realized that Dimitri, you know, was telling the truth to some aspect, and they had to like strip down. So I know that Harry swings for the other team, and that's okay, but in that very moment, he was so fine.
Ooh, yes.
Like, and then and then Ryan had the nerve to call out that he was wearing briefs.
I was Ryan's like, hating. He always
Ryan, nobody was mad at that.
Off, so it's fine.
No.
True. I didn't realize that he had the body that he had. I feel
either.
Like in the previous seasons he's been
a
lot.
His arms, though.
Yeah.
I mean, his arms are.
And then they zoomed out and you can still see the muscle definition. Yes. Like, are you kidding? I was here for it. I was here for it too. I was stuck right
and
there.
And I'm here for the actor for it too, because, I mean, you know how much like stress he probably had that day of realizing that he had to be basically naked.
Yes.
Like, he probably didn't eat that much, had no water. Like, just let's do this.
Look at his body. His body.
Okay, Daddy.
Goodness
And he was proud to take that shirt off too. He was like,
He knew what he was doing. That was the problem. He knew what he was doing. We got problems with that.
But on that note, with that whole storyline, it's interesting that we got so much depth from a character like Harry, who's kind of one of the newer ones to the team. Mm-hmm. I like that they're like expanding him a lot more. He definitely gets the best like one-liners and the just comedic doses here and there. So I appreciate his character.
He's my favorite character right now.
That's right now.
That's because he used to be a douche.
Yeah, he kind of
like a complete douche. And now we're like, you know that class clown that you hate, but then you start to love because they make you laugh? That's how he's working us.
He still has something under his sleeve. I mean, he that douche part is always going to be there. And, I mean, at some point in this season, he's going to, well, no, because Ryan told on himself. Never mind.
We still have to see how that plays out.
Yeah. Well, what I like about Harry, too, is that he calls it as it is. Like, he has no bullshit. Like, he doesn't care. And I think that that's why I like him so much, is that he has no filter. He's saying what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's like the reality dose in the whole show, which is nice.
Which makes it hard to hate. So we were talking about Harry and Dimitri's encounter, and I really love the moment that they shared over vodka. I think it really made me as a viewer stop and analyze certain situations, because there are people that I just cut off and I don't care to think about the fact that you may have lost your family with the bomb that was meant for you, and this is how, you know, you're seeking revenge, et cetera, et cetera. It's just like, but you killed my partner or my friend or someone that I loved, and now I just hate you. So I love that Dimitri started as the villain, but we had a lot of heartstrings pulled through his conversation in a way that, like, I just empathized a lot with him. Even the fact that he came and he wanted to save the prince and mm-hmm. et cetera. Like, I thought that that was well executed. His character brought the show to life and brought it home.
And why he wanted to save the prince. Like, the whole reason of, like, being close with Amir and, like, wanting to make sure that, like, his son was taken care of.
Mm-hmm. I will say, though, until he had that conversation with Harry, I still thought there was a chance he could be bad.
Yeah, in that whole shootout?
Yes.
I thought he was going to just turn and be like...
I did, too.
Yes. Let's go. That had me like, wait, what? And then when he sat down and broke it down to him, I'm like, all right, he's good. The same way that, like, they put someone in your face and you, like, it might be too obvious. I was like, oh, well, maybe he's a bad guy and he's just been in our face this whole time, but... turned out not to be.
That was a cool scene too, though, when they were actually going to the pawn shop and had the shootout, like, to see, like, the tactical aspect of it, of, like, the 1-2-3.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. That coordination was really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It woke me up. True. Because the episode was really flat after that. I said, oh, there's a shootout. Oh, I woke up. But I literally was falling asleep.
Would you have rather it go how it went, Dimitri saving Harry, or Dimitri switching on, Harry.
I wish he would have switched.
For entertainment purposes.
Yeah,
him switching.
Yeah. I want to know what you guys think at home. Like, leave it in the comments. Would you have wanted Dimitri to throw Harry under the bus? Because then we possibly would have lost him. Like,
I mean, if it's going to...
I mean, Harry would have gotten out of it. They're going to keep him in there until the end of the season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I hate ragging on the show that I love so much, but, like...
But you tell the truth for something that you like. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
true. Yeah,
because... I mean,
like, we can talk about it, but someone else can't come in here and try to talk about it because then, you know, then I might want to fight. Like, don't talk about Quantico, but we can talk about it.
We can talk about it.
Can we talk about it really quickly?
I think one of my favorite, like, quick moments this episode was early on when they went to go talk to the prince about that, you know, let him know that he was the target, when Alex just, like, with one flick of the wrist, flipped over that guy. And he just got up and, like, got in his place like nothing had happened.
Little,
I'm just
his,
like,
rope was, like, flipped back.
And yeah. I'm just like, you ought to feel like an idiot right now. Like, she barely touched you.
She was so calm, though. Honestly, it was a little annoying because Alex is so, like, humble cocky. Alex is very humble cocky.
She is.
So, like, she flipped him and was like, "Is that if that's all you got, then you need us to stay
here." Yeah.
I know.
I loved it.
And him just going...
Like, he had not, like, what can you do?
What could he
and
do?
She stood there. Right. Like, she didn't move. Her hair didn't flip.
Nothing.
She humble cocky. I got an issue with that.
An issue with that? Girl, if I was that badass, I would do it all the time, too.
Exactly.
If you're on the same team, but when you're not on the same team as Alex, it's like, dude.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Perspective. It's all about perspective, apparently.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Oh, my God. Well, outside of that betrayal of the sister that was standing right in front of our face, how did you know? Because I didn't know until about, like, the culinary aspect is when I figured out that it was the sister.
She, you know what? There was a scene when they were in the car. You guys remember that scene?
That was the scene
and
I knew.
She was like... you know, take your time. Like, and even when she was explaining it to Alex and McQuigg, the way that she was speaking to them and the details that she was giving, I was like, she wants to be in charge.
Yes.
She wants to have her brother's place. So when she was like, you know, take your time, I'll be there, you'll have help, I wasn't buying it. It felt like, no, you're coming for me.
Yeah.
I think the fact that he himself said it should have been you more than once in two different scenes to me was like, okay, it should be you. That to me tipped me off. The second time he said it, I was like, there's no way. Like, he does not want this. And she is the eyes and ears. She knows, like you said, all the ins and outs of this.
Mm.
She had more to gain from the situation than he did.
Yeah. And I figure, like, she was the one person in the whole situation that was smart enough to, like, even try to pull off something like this.
And her seeing the plane situation, too.
The way that she was pointing it to her uncle was like, okay, girl, you try to make sure that this, you know, no attention is on you.
Yeah.
But then also she should feel like crap because her little brother literally kept saying, as Christine mentioned, it should be you. It shouldn't be me. You are the one who's smart. You the one who went to military. You the one who stayed home. And I know that as the big sister, maybe she felt like I had all these sacrifices, but because he's the guy, he's automatically going to get it.
Ooh,
so I get that, but she should feel like crap because he wasn't like the douchey little brother. Like, I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to be king. He was like, no, sis, you got it.
Yeah.
That's so true.
And then you tried to kill me? You could have just asked me for it, and I almost would have been like, yes, take it.
Exactly. Yeah. Or they could have worked together. I mean, like, it really wouldn't have been as bad. Like, she really didn't have to go this far. Like, she was just being dramatic.
And to be honest, I feel like when it comes to royalty, I've thought about this a lot with, like, the royal wedding and, like, positions and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like the second in command is the one that's got the best, like, situation here.
Yeah.
You get the benefits of being royal, but you don't have a target on your head. Right. You don't have the responsibility of everything else. Like, you literally get to evoke change the way that you want to evoke change.
Absolutely.
And not under the restrictions of, like, having the crown.
Right.
So, like, the girl should have realized that a long time ago. I'd be like, yeah, I made mistakes. I made my sacrifices. But guess what? I get to enjoy now.
But she exposed her heart. Yeah. She exposed her heart because not only did she kill her dad 12 months early, like, finding out that he had pancreatic cancer was very sad. And then he ended up getting shot. So you tried to kill your brother, then killed your dad, was standing next to his bed when he died and tried to act like a damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. That's just, I'm sorry, that's unforgivable.
Can you imagine being a prince and having, or like a sibling, and realizing that your other sibling has your head on a plate? Like, coming for you?
No.
It's one thing to be an uncle. Like, uncle was understandable, but your own sister?
It was only the three of them. So now he's by himself. He doesn't have his sister's help or support. He lost his dad. He didn't even know that his dad was sick.
Yeah.
But his sister knew and didn't even tell me. Mm-hmm. At that moment, I should have been like, well, sis, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, why would you not
sending
tell
me?
Sending
you to jail. You know? I love when he went, boom.
Because you're right, though. Because if she really was trying to help him through this and be there for him every step of the way, she should have told him a long time ago to prepare him for it from jump.
Yeah.
Why is he just finding out now?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if he was really trying to prepare and be, like, prepared to take over the throne, he should have been prepared in that way as well, like, heart strength.
Exactly.
Because if you lose your parent and then you automatically have to take over the throne, you're not going to be in the right headspace at all.
No.
She probably planned for him to react that way so she could step in and be like, it's okay, I'll do it.
I didn't like it. I mean... But again, with the storyline, it was also surprising that this was just it. That it was the sister. That it was as simple as, my dad's already dying, I want the throne, kick my brother out.
If she wanted the throne for some evil, malicious reasons, I think that would have made it more spicy.
Yeah, just like, something.
She had some, like, controversial policy that she was going to put into play that would actually maybe affect the U.S. So therefore, Alex and McQuaig have to stay on this case and maybe see it out a little more.
Ooh, that's
boom!
Like, that's an SVU over there.
Put me in the writer's room because I was like, that's it? You just wanted the shine? Come on, sweetie. You're a royal. Like, do you really, like you said, like, did you need the title that bad?
Right. And you want to up the ante? What if we already had the Russian issues in the first episode?
Oh, yeah.
Why couldn't it have been tied to the widow?
We've been asking about this, though, since episode one.
Like, why not?
Christine started the conversation about we need a reoccurring...
Some type of something that
we're solving each... Okay, got, like, writers at home, producers, if you decide that you ever want to bring it back and bring it back good, we need what we had. We need that revolving storyline to keep us there.
Yeah.
Because this new stuff every episode is not working.
Better yet, we would love to have you come here and talk to us about it.
Like, why would you do that?
Please.
And also, like, all the fans, we really do want to hear from you guys on, like, your thoughts, especially all of you all that have been very, like, diligent on commenting and liking and subscribing. And we really want you guys, if you were listening to us on iTunes, you can also watch us live on YouTube.
Yeah.
So hop on over there. Make sure you like and subscribe and comment. And anyone that is liking and subscribing and commenting on our iTunes, we will definitely give you guys shout outs just as much as we will give you shout outs if you're on YouTube. So YouTubers, when you're driving to work in those long hours to and from work, you can go to iTunes.
Oh, yes.
You can go to both.
I'm
not trying to advocate to watch and drive. Don't do that.
We don't want any lawsuits, please.
I don't want
Elena
that.
Elena came in quick. Hold on, sweetie. Hold on.
Because like a traffic light. Hold on. Was like, hold up.
I thought she was going to say... You guys can comment if you're watching on YouTube.
No,
make sure
you
comment. That's texting and driving, guys. No.
Stop when you're driving and then comment, like, and subscribe. But yes, and let us know, like, your suggestions of what to do with the next few episodes since we are going to be concluding our panel. And I guess we're done.
You know what I want to know? I want to know how you guys at home feel about the day change of the show.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
I mean, for the last season, I get it. It's coming to a close. But how they just kicked us off a Thursday and put us on Friday.
I mean,
and then
It's like a death sentence to be put on Friday.
Because you plan out the week. You know what shows you watch when.
Yeah.
So why would you try to compete with others? I don't like that.
I honestly feel like I'm sorry. I'm gonna take a real quick second to kind of give ABC a slap on the wrist real quick, because the amount of time and effort and energy and money that they've put into Shondaland shows and other shows that have been on longer and have more resources, I feel like they didn't really, like, they saw Quantico kind of dying and didn't do anything to help it. Mm-hmm. And it shows, by the way, they just kicked it off a Thursday. Like, well, ship's already sinking. Let's just toss it.
Yeah.
It hurts me.
Yeah. And on the same token, too, like, these actors, these producers, these writers, the entire crew, it's not just the cast.
Yeah.
Everyone involved has already shot 10, 13 episodes for this season. It's already done.
Yeah.
Like, why would you even do that to a show that's already, like, we've already given it its, like, death stamp? Like, at least keep it in a spot that the audience that is loyal is going to stay
on. Let it go, like, out with some dignity.
Right, because if you're worried about the viewership, like, why would you put it on a show that's proven to have less viewership on a day during the week where there's less viewership when it already doesn't have enough viewers for your, like, ratings of any sort, you know? I don't know. I'm not happy about it. I don't think it's necessarily, like, the network per se. I think it's just, like, the tradition of Hollywood. I think it's every network that's done that.
Yeah.
That's true. But then again, I've also seen a couple shows that we've loved that have gotten the boot from one network and got picked up by another network. So
yeah. It's the Netflix game right now. Yeah. Everyone's trying to get picked up. Yeah.
So, I mean, if they do redeem themselves in the upcoming episodes and they do get more viewership, maybe we will see it back. Maybe it will get picked up by Hulu or Netflix. You never know.
Which would be really fun.
Yeah. With that, though, comes, like, with a groundswell of support. Because all the other shows, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, how quickly did that turn around? They got canceled and got picked up right back up.
Because timeless, the fans, too.
Right. We're the ones who are going to rally for this show. And it can't just be us four here.
Hit the floor. So, yes. A lot of shows.
You know,
I would also think this show would do well on Netflix because it's such a binge-oriented show.
Yes.
Like, I kind of think if you throw the show like this up on Netflix and start releasing new episodes, that's how you should be watching the show, I think, sometimes.
Yeah,
I agree. And on top of it, too, I think with Netflix, what I love about Netflix so much is that there are no boundaries. Yes. And they get to push the boundaries to tell a legitimate story.
Yeah.
And I feel like this show has the potential to push the boundaries.
It definitely does.
And right now, the network kind of, like, puts it in a confined box. I think they already pushed it as much as they could. Like, this show could be, like, amazing if they really did, like, delve into those hard topics. Yeah. But
before we jump into the next topic, can we mention that at the dinner, how gorgeous everyone looked? Like, the fact that they had to get in theme for... I was like, yes, y'all are working. Like, I want to be there.
Alex was serving Gaudi. Hello.
Right? Seriously. With that cutout dress.
Yes. Girl. And Shelby, too, though. Oh, I loved her look.
She did that really good.
She looked great.
Her smoky eye was everything.
Mm. Yeah.
And the hair and that black dress. I would wear that black dress in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
I was also here for Shelby and Ryan's flirting. I know if you're at home, you're surprised.
Nah.
Because I am not a Shelby Ryan fan.
We know.
But I was totally here for their flirting. I thought it was cute. Like, especially being out in the field, it was like,
Speaking of flirting, I really wanted to get into Alex and McQuigg because that was finally put out there.
He looked good.
He looks delicious. like so very yummy.
And his blue eyes. So when he ran out and they did that shot of, like, he got so mad and he looked down the camera lens. I was like, oh.
And then he screamed. Did you hear the scream? He was like, ah.
Oh, yes. But both of us over here.
You know he's fine when he looks good with a clean shave
and the scruff. Yes. The scruff came back and I was like, there.
Yes.
That's what got us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Bravo to you, sir. Right there.
So, what do you guys think of his little flirting? Like, what's your perfect night in New York City?
He could have done better.
Yeah. You think so? I wanted to know what you thought.
Okay, so what's your best and worst pickup line that you've had then?
Oh. I had someone.
That cackle was telling, girl.
That was good.
Let us know.
I had someone ask for my number, and I was like, oh, why? And they were like, I mean, you're cute, I'm cute, we can be cute together, and I die. Like, I literally, like, laughed out loud. I was like, you are so corny, I can't. Mm. It worked.
Ooh, it works.
I was trying to think of a good one.
I was thinking college.
Okay,
it's
we'll give you that pass.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I thought he could do better with the "What's your dream?" Like, because she answered, or he was trying to guess, and I thought that was cute. But then it was just too chill. Like, I expect him to be more sharp and more a little bit more forward. Especially,
I think because he's so attractive, he's probably used to getting what he wants, so he doesn't have to come off hard.
You know what I mean? Not hard, but because he's dealing with Alex, I'm going to need you to act like you're dealing with Alex.
Nah.
I think he realizes who he's dealing with yet, though.
I think we also don't know enough about him yet.
We don't know
to make that assumption. Because for one, the way that it's kind of been brought up that, like, you know, dating within a team, how that can affect things. Right. Maybe he's dated someone within a team before, or the years that he's gone undercover, dated someone, had it backfire on him. So maybe that's why he's not taking the, such a direct approach to Alex. Plus, she's kind of friend-zoning him a little bit. It's not like she's giving him anything either. Yeah. So that could be a reason why.
Is that a bad game, though? Like, friend-zoning first and then being like, oh, by the way, I think I like you.
No.
No.
I think that's a good little way in.
I think it's being careful. Yeah. You're being careful, and you're betting. I need to really see who you are, and I need you to think that I'm not into you at all. So that because, you know, when your guard's down, you start dropping those little accidental,
and it works when you act like really you're observant. Not interested.
Yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, who really wants someone that's like, oh my god, I really like you so much, and I want to be around you all the time? Like, nobody wants that.
Yeah, no.
I want a guy to make me feel like that, though. Like, that's
but there's a way to do it. Though.
Key. Yeah, the way you do it is key. Yeah.
So, do you guys think that Harry is going to play a major role in Alex and McQuaig's relationship? Because he already inserted himself tonight.
I think he'll be the wingman when they're not asking for a wingman.
Okay.
They never ask for a wingman. He just always just put himself in situations.
Here, you two, right there.
Right.
Go.
Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't you all over that?
But McQuaig already knows, like, that Alex and Harry are super close because he already called it out in The Perfect Night.
Yeah.
So.
I think Harry's going to push for them, too, to get closer. He already has started it, and I think maybe in his mind, if those two are together, at least Alex isn't around single to possibly get in Ryan's way because she seems to be so tempting for him, you know?
But she's not even trying.
It's not her fault. You're right. It's not her fault and she's not trying. But I feel like it's kind of like an out of sight, out of mind thing. If he's just focusing on Shelby, maybe she could just...
Can we also talk about that look? Like, please. We're going back to the dinner like them flirting and she's like, guys, get a room. But she was legitimately not trying. She was just being friendly, being normal. And then when McQuaig goes up to Alex... That look from Ryan. I'm like, dude, you are married.
Yeah, pay attention over there.
Over it.
Yeah. Speaking of Ryan and him being really salty, like, first of all, you can date my best friend, but I can't date a stranger. Like, you have no ties to McQuaig.
You can marry.
Yeah.
True.
Ooh, there you go.
Marry my best friend. And then got the nerve to look at me crazy. And then you have your own drama with your wife that you tried to throw me in the middle of. You can't love either one of us if you're trying to, like, keep stirring the pot.
Yeah.
You can't love Shelby how you say you love her because you married her. And you can't love me to want to bring me into the drama.
Preach.
Not enough.
Ooh, yes. We are all on the same wavelength tonight.
Well, do we give Ryan props for finally telling Shelby what's up?
No, and also Shelby's reaction to it.
Oh, like, my
number
God.
Number one, girl, like, you knew.
Stop.
Don't even.
Please just
like, don't
stop.
Make it more dramatic.
But did he really tell her?
It's the person nearest to you holding the dagger. Girl, you knew.
I hated that.
Right.
Come on. Don't even be like,
she could say that about
dramatic.
Herself. Like, come on.
That's, yeah.
Exactly. You were holding the knife closer, too. Honey.
I also hated that she said that more than once tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, she was saying it about the sister or the uncle. I don't remember if she figured out it was the sister first. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that she said the same thing to... and she said it about Alex.
Not about Ryan. Yeah.
Yeah, Alex didn't even hold the knife. Ryan was the one trying to...
Shouldn't you be mad at your husband?
Exactly. Right.
But that's what makes me think, would you have rather heard it from Alex or are you... just mad. Like, Ryan was the one who told you. He's the one who should be telling you. That's your husband.
Yeah.
So. And he barely told her. He didn't even tell her.
Yeah, but like, okay, did he... He didn't kiss her.
He almost kissed her.
So why did he say that he kissed her?
Because in his mind, he did, maybe.
But that was just weird to me.
If she ever has a conversation with... Alex, he doesn't know like what Alex's version of it is going to be. So I think he's maybe protecting himself and just giving her the whole story.
Okay, but he didn't even say Alex had no parts of it. Like, Alex was asleep, woke up and said, don't you ever try that again.
Yeah.
And also, it was a kiss. Like, come on. Like, and Shelby, I'm sorry, Shelby, you have no right to be mad. Number one, you married your best friend's ex-boyfriend of how many years? Ex-fiance.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. Mm-hmm. And you saw the relationship from the get-go. You married him. Mm-hmm. They have had history. It was one kiss. Like, if we're getting real here, like, call a spade a spade. Like, you have no right to be mad. And if anything, you're mad because you're mad at yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And it was going to happen at some point in time.
Like, right. Better it happened now, earlier yeah. on. Deal with it.
She didn't think that Alex was coming back. That's really what the kicker is. The kicker is, I didn't think that we would see you again. It took, what, 3 years for you to pop back into our life? And in 3 years, we got married.
And you realize how strong your relationship actually wasn't strong at all.
That's drama. I don't... See, they're turning... This is what's happening. This is what's really happening. They're turning this action-filled thriller into this drama chick flick.
Soap opera.
I don't got time for that.
No.
What do we call it? The animation?
The love triangle. Oh, the animation.
The animation
beginning.
In the beginning is telling you that this is now a chick flick. So say bye to the guns.
And Owen and Jocelyn are now becoming a thing, too. Like,
or forcibly.
Oh,
forcibly.
My God.
You knew that when he got her the beer and she was like, you're reading my mind. I was like, oh, God, they're going to make this into something
else. I
don't
else. Like it.
You guys will hate it, though.
I don't like it.
Why are they going to have the entire bunker, like, filled with relationships?
Like, everybody's swapping spit with, like, just why?
Why don't you like it, though? Why between Jocelyn and Owen, what makes you say no? They work really well together.
Yeah, but some people just need to work together as a team. Like, I just don't, you know, like, if I'm going to have to sit and watch, like, a relationship, I want to see them swooning over each other, like, drooling over, and I just don't get that chemistry.
I feel like
them.
You're putting them together for the sake of putting them together.
Yeah, because they're around each other, and they get along. Like, that
and they're male
mean,
and female. Yeah. Cool. Great.
Who was it that told, Jocelyn, that Owen's into her? Was it the redhead chick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Who also was feisty for this episode.
I was going to say, her character was
halfway, and it was just really, like, annoying. I was like, girl, just sit down.
What do you think that was about?
I think she's just super insecure.
I think I think it's actually going to be about something that ties back into Jocelyn, only because I was watching an interview, I think with Alex, or I read somewhere, rather, that there's going to be an episode later on this season that talks about why Jocelyn is deaf, like what happened to her that led her to be that way. And I think the fact that she said there's so many similarities between me and her from, like, when she was younger, I feel like that's why.
We kind of got that in the first episode about, remember the widow woman? Mm-hmm. Jocelyn got on the team because she had all this back history about the widow because she apparently lost her hearing when dealing with her. Mm-hmm. But then the fact that Jocelyn did say that they had all these similarities, like she's young and, you know, go back to Quantico. I kind of want them to bring Quantico back into the situation.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
It's the name of the freaking show.
Right, yeah. Come on, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back.
The fact that they brought the trainees out of Quantico onto the Black Ops team just separates it all. Like, we need some kind of
tie-in.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, guys, I mean, that pretty much wraps up this entire episode. We've now dropped the bomb on you, if you didn't know already, that the show has been canceled. So we will be sure to be as truthful and honest over the remainder of this season. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will be here on Mondays moving forward on AfterBuzz.
Yes.
And we are at 9.
Yes.
We are officially at 9.
I heard that song for Christine.
Ooh.
Ooh, ooh.
Can we sing happy birthday to her? Christine's birthday is tomorrow.
Happy birthday to you. Woo! Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Christine. Happy birthday to you.
Sweeties, you got me such a cute little cake.
And I brought us water. I brought us very, very clear water. That's so good for our skin.
Yes,
Daddy
it is.
Water.
Yes, it
Daddy.
Is. Good Cheers water. To that. Again, Cheers. Thank you guys so much for joining us. My name's Candace Cruz. You can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
And Elena here. You can follow me on all social platforms at @Hey_It'sLay.
And it's a girl, Ashley Allen. You can find me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen.
And it's the birthday girl, Christine Bean. You can find me everywhere at Christine Bean with 3 E's.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.